Hall of Fame induction ceremony coming up this Saturday at Galesburg High School, and the 1980 football team, the class of 80-81, being inducted. They had a pretty darn good year. Went undefeated in the Western Big Six Conference, and some of the members of that team who are joining us this morning. Number one, he's been here before, Jeff Flater. Jeff, good morning. How are you doing today? Good
morning, Tom. Thanks.
Quarterback of that team, and he's going to be quarterback in the interview this morning. Mark Reed. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
And leading away, as he did then, Steve Peachy. Steve, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Tom. Doing great. Thanks.
Well, guys, thanks for coming in with us here this morning. First off, congratulations on being inducted as a team. Well, I'll start with you, Jeff. Talk about some of the memories of that year in particular, because I know you guys had a good year the year prior, the 79-80 class, and we were talking about how the playoff system was different then, and that team should have been a playoff team, but with the rules then, with what? Did they have two losses that year or just one? Three losses, okay.
Yeah, we're 6-3.
Yeah, so today would have been a playoff team, but there was a key loss in that season that made the difference between getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, that was down at Quincy, which is always kind of a tough place to play. We lost that game. We'd beaten Moline, which I think Moline won the conference that year, and that was a huge win. But you know, back then you had to win the conference, and so that kept us from the Quincy game, kept us from getting into the playoffs. But then the following year, we kind of made amends, and they had we had a really, really good year.
Talk, Mark, about the offseason leading in after that year. You knew you had a lot of you lost some really key players, but you had a lot of good players coming back. Did you kind of have a feeling, say, hey, this is the team, we can climb that ladder, win the conference, get in the playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy thing is, not much of an offseason because everybody actually played other sports.
Yeah.
So when it came to doing offseason things like weights, never really did much of that. Knowing that the success we had as juniors, knowing going into our senior year, we thought we were going to be pretty good. And we had a nice group of kids, guys that played well together. And we thought good things could happen.
Steve, talk a little about Coach Kelly Kane and his mentorship with that team.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, really. A great teacher, a great classroom teacher. I think when I talk to people on our team, there's always some Kelly Kane story for that individual that helped form them into being a better man, a better person, a better citizen. Fantastic as football scheming and the detail of football, but really what we all carry away is he helped us reach greater heights as people, and we owe a lot to him in that regard. I was thinking the other day, all those coaches, they're friends now. We knew them then as coaches. But we knew their wives, we knew their kids, and really they're all lifelong friends to us. So it's a lot deeper than just a coaching situation. We all feel that the four coaches we had, you know, seven coaches of going down the lower levels were fantastic and just unbelievable mentors for all of us.
Well, and Mark, for you continued to play for him also over at Monmouth College, coached alongside him as well.
Yeah, everything that Steve says is exactly correct. He's been more than a coach to me. He's been a father. He's the godchild of my first child. And I still, to this day, visit him on a regular basis, him and Mrs. Kane. And I'm really, really good friends with Sean, his boy. But I can't say enough about Coach Kane and what he's done to impact my life.
I'm guessing that probably had an influence. Steve, you've coached football, among mm-hmm. other sports. Mark, you have as well. Jeff, you have as well, and been an athletic director. Talk about that influence of Coach Kane on your coaching in particular.
Especially when I first became a head coach in the early 90s, Coach Kane was the first person I went and talked to. You know, as far as offensively doing things, running the option. But more than anything, really on how to build a team. And that was the beauty of what Coach Kane didn't have to work real hard to build a team because the guys that we had were really, really tight. But the thing that he had to do was challenge us to become better than what we are. And that's really that was the beauty of Coach Kane. He knew how to coach. You know, sometimes you can overcoach things, and Coach really didn't do that. He did a fantastic job on on getting us to where we needed to be. And as I got into coaching, I always longed to build the team similar to what we had and to what Coach Kane helped build. But not just Coach Kane. You know, you had Coach DeVore, Coach Albright.
Mm-hmm. Dave Peck.
Yeah, Dave Peck, Coach Peck. And we see those guys today. And you know, recently we lost Coach Brewington. And when we were at the visitation, the funny thing is I reflected upon, and Mark and I talked about this, what great mentors and what great coaches we had at Galesburg High School. And as an athletic director, I longed to build a staff like that, because those, you know, that there's a lot of great coaches out there, but man, we had a whole school full of great mentors and great people.
Yeah, and Steve, as you mentioned, if they're a great coach, that means they're a great teacher as well, yeah. That whether it's in the classroom or not, but they're a teacher of whether it's the sport or life skills, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, in coaching, coming back as a career coaching, you feel there's a little difference now. You get a lot of people from outside the community that want to help and want to coach, but there's a difference of working outside of the school and then coming in to coach. But when you're a teacher in the hallways, it matters. Hal DeVore, one of the best I've ever had, the Allisons, just amazing to see them on a practice field, but it was even better to see them in a classroom. Again, you get to know them very well, their families, and we really had some good ones. And as we've gotten older and gone through our careers, and all three of us have come back to GHS in some capacity, you realize what happened at that time is more special than it was when you're actually going through it. And we thought it was amazing as we were going through it, but you realize there were things in play that are just very unique to Galesburg, to the sports that we went through, to the things that were happening. You know, we loved being Silver Streaks, but there was a lot that went into that we owe a lot to the organization underneath it.
Absolutely. Mark, let's talk a little bit about some of the personnel on that team, yourselves. I'm just trying to think. Some of theirs, obviously, Kurt Bell went and played at Indiana State. Was Gary Pugh a junior on that team? No, he
was already.
He was a senior that year. Okay. Talk about some of the other personnel and the way things kind of lined up.
You know, the big thing for us was the transition. In other words, the Lombard-Churchill thing. That was the hugest transition for us, especially for Gary and I, because Gary and I were Lombard kids. And we wanted to know how we were going to fit in with the Kurt Bells, the Stu Pyatts, Brent Stanleys, Jeff Flater, Steve Peaches. And I think the biggest thing that happened was the guys that I just mentioned accepted me. Why that was, I have no idea. But I think
why was that by the way? Yeah.
He was a good player. We needed him.
Okay.
So, had a good friend.
Yeah. So that made that transition real easy, because the guys that I played with for 3 years at Lombard saw that I was developing a friendship with the Churchill guys, thinking, okay, now after we've fought for 3 years in the not only football but basketball, we're able to transition. These guys are accepting Mark, so let's go ahead and let's follow and see what happens here. And what happened, the transition went really, really well. And I think that goes a lot to the personality of the guys at Churchill, that they didn't, you know, because they – had a quarterback, or they had a running back, or they had whoever. But once they saw the way that Gary and I and some of the other guys that we had on that Lombard team could play, they said, okay, wait a minute. These guys are pretty good. And I think if we work together as a team, by the time we're seniors, we'll be pretty good. And, of course, Gary by far was the best. And he was very, very talented as a running back. He bought in. Obviously, he didn't have a choice, because Coach Kane did a really, really good job of transitioning that as well. And not only with that, with the sophomore coaching staff that we had with Bill Allison, he did a great job as well. So that to me was the most important part of us coming together. And when we had success as we did as sophomores, because we went 8-1, and the only loss we had was to Moline, we thought, oh man, we got something special going on here.
By the way, who had bragging rights coming in?
Churchill
did.
Really?
Yeah,
I think
Churchill.
We probably shouldn't talk about
I remember.
That.
I think Churchill.
If you remember, right?
I think it was like a last-second field goal. Or
45 years ago, it's hard feelings for Mark and Gary and those guys, Jay Hardy and those guys.
Coach Fisher won't talk about that game to this day. Because Coach Fisher, you know, there's another one who had a huge impact on you guys, and he even coached up at the high school. You know, Mark doesn't. And I'm going to say Bootsy, because that's his name. It's very odd calling him Mark. But anyway, Mark kind of he doesn't sell enough the impact that he had, because he's exactly right. Mark really was a catalyst in getting us the two teams really coming together as one, and it really came together very smooth. And yeah, you know, there's that inner rivalry, that's that inner competition once you get into your sophomore year, and now you're fighting for jobs. But you know, that's a healthy competition. And then I remember, you remember when Gary got pulled up to the varsity? Mm-hmm. Oh, Mr. Varsity. we tease him a lot.
Yeah.
But, man, what a player Gary was. And you knew that right away.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
I think another great thing is that for whatever reason, individuals had the ability to let go of their accolades and play more for a bigger purpose. And that was a neat thing to sacrifice some of themselves for something that could be special. We all sensed it. The other great thing is that everybody did their job. Football is a complicated game, but you have to rely on the person next to you or three guys over that I can't worry about what you're doing. I just trust you're going to do it well. And we had the knack of doing that. That made it good.
Well, Steve, is there a game or a moment from that season that really stands out to you this many years later?
Yeah, that the Rock Island game, as we said earlier, it was tougher to get the state because you had to win your conference. We did lose the second game of the year, which wasn't supposed to happen, and we lost it to Danville across the state in overtime. And it did change our focus a little bit because it was a little stumbling block, and it kept our focus a little more intent of what we're trying to do. But the Rock Island game at the end, it was a Saturday, which is rare to play. It was snowing. There were flurries. It was cold. And it was a pressure-packed game. We were talking earlier. I've never been involved in sports playing, you know, junior high school, college coaching that had more pressure on it than that particular game. So winning that, you know, really felt like a national championship to us. The locker room was a lot of fun then.
Mark, a particular game or moment you remember from that season that really stands out?
Obviously, it's that one. I mean, yeah. There's no question because that was going to decide whether we were going to win the conference or not. And that was our year. In fact, yeah. If we lose, we're done. If we win, then we're winning the conference and we're going to the playoffs. And that was our goal from the start anyway. So that game by far just solidified what we worked for the last 3 years.
Yeah. How about you, Jeff? Same thing? Or?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the Danville game was such a hard loss for a lot of reasons. But that I think that catapulted in that team really went on to do great things. One of the things I also remember – very clearly was after the playoff game, we're standing outside. We lost. We're standing outside, and Kurt Bell made a comment. He says, you know, probably the saddest thing is I'm never going to get to play with this bunch of guys again. And that, you know, that was a very sobering thought because true. I mean, we're, you know, we still see each other today, 40 years later. 42.
Yeah.
40 years later.
It's 2022, Jeff.
You know, we'll go into Planet Fitness, and there's four guys that graduated together, and we see each other around town, and we get together occasionally, and it's that just really speaks volumes to how really tight that team was.
Yeah, and you guys all as educators and coaches have seen it. It's some guys, that's the last team they're ever on. Yeah. I mean, and that is a hard thing, that last game. That's a hard one, I think, no matter what level you're at.
Absolutely.
Mark went on to play with a coach in college. I went on to play in college, but what was and Kurt did too, maybe a couple others. But what I always found fascinating, it was just never like Friday night in Galesburg and Silver Streaks and Hyo Silver. And I do remember kind of chasing that for 4 years in college, trying to get that feeling. I enjoyed it. It was great, but it just is hard to get a community wrapped around what you're doing. It's really hard to get players buying into something bigger than themselves. And so I was thrilled that I had that experience and could enjoy playing it Saturday at 1 o'clock, thinking Friday nights are better.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. Well, guys, congratulations. I know you guys had a great season that year. You wanted to not end as soon as it did, no. But you got somewhere where very few teams have,
yeah, that's
right. For sure.
Good point.
Guys, well, congratulations again on the induction into the Hall of Fame. Again, that'll be happening this Saturday. Now, a lot of the other guys, know when you're going to be back for the ceremony?
Yeah. So when we got the first word that our team was being inducted, I had a conversation with Eric Matthews in terms of, you know, getting some information from him. And then I created a Facebook page. And so having had to do some of those things as an athletic director, I kind of took that on. I told Coach Kane, don't worry about it. We'll, you know, myself and the other guys will work to try to contact guys. So, I really think we're going to have about over 20 guys there.
Wow,
some
good.
Guys that I wasn't expecting to be there. Danny Knoll contacted me yesterday. He's going to be there. Rick Day from Quincy, who lives in Quincy now, he was a junior on that team. Robbie Anderson called me, or I tried to call him, and then we've been communicating. So there's a lot of guys. I'm thinking probably over 20 guys, maybe 25, and I think that'll be a really good showing if we can get that.
Absolutely. Well, guys, again, congratulations on the induction. Thanks so much for coming in with us this morning.
Thanks, Tom. Really appreciate it.